If you would be opening your Bibles to Judges chapter 2, and we'll be reading there in just a moment from Judges chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. I want us to consider this morning Israel in the days of the judges, and there are lessons there that we can learn from them. This time of the judges began after the death of Joshua, after they had entered the promised land. And chapter 2 and verses 11 through 23 give us really a synopsis of something that occurred over the next 350 or so years through the judges. Beginning in chapter 2 and verse 11, "Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served the Baals. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them. And they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. So he delivered them into the hands of plunderers who despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies all around, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Whenever or wherever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for calamity, as the Lord had said, and as the Lord had sworn to them, and they were greatly distressed. Then the Lord raised up judges who delivered them out of the hand of those who plundered them. Yet they would not listen to their judges, but they played the harlot with other gods, and bowed down to them. They turned quickly from the way in which their fathers walked, in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do so. And when the Lord raised up judges for them, the Lord was with the judge, and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For the Lord was moved to pity by their groaning, because of those who oppressed them and harassed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they reverted and behaved more corruptly than their fathers by following other gods, to serve them and bow down to them. They did not cease from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. Then the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because this nation has transgressed my covenant which I commanded their fathers, and has not heeded my voice, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord, to walk in them as their fathers kept them or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hand of Joshua." It was a repeated cycle. Obey God under a judge for a while, and then they would revert back to evil, and God would send plague and cursing upon them through other nations, and then God would bring them a judge again to deliver them. A repeated cycle. I want us to consider their failures so that we might learn from their failures. First of all, Israel failed in their devotion to the Word of God, to the commandments that God had given them, to the law of Moses. What God had commanded them, we can find back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, regarding His law, the decrees He had given to them through Moses. Chapter 6 and verses 1 through 9 say, "Now this is a commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you're crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And then verses 10 to 12, and it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hewn out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Now skip down to verse 20. When your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out from there, that he might bring us in, to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us, if we're careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. Very clearly, God wanted them to take that law and write it in their own hearts, not that they might have it for themselves, but they might teach it to their children, that they might have reminders and set up reminders, that they might, to their children, show respect for God and his law, to obey it, writing it in their own heart, teaching diligently to their children, and reminding them, explaining it to them. What did Israel do, though? In Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, when all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel. They were not devoted to the word of God as they should have been. They were to teach it to their children. How could a generation arise who did not know the Lord if they had done that which God said to do, to teach their children? And then when their children were to say, well, what does this mean? And they say, sit down and let me tell you a story about the things God has done for us and all that he's commanded us. They didn't do it. We look at chapter 17 and verse 6. In chapter 17 and 6, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, and that's the result. When you don't know the Lord, then every man follows his own way. And that's the way it was in Israel. And Judges ends in the last verse of chapter 21 and 25 with the same words. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. They failed in their devotion to the word of God, and as a result, a generation arose that did not know God, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. I ask you this morning, how are you doing in your devotion to the word of God? How are you doing in your devotion to the word of God? This is not biblio worship. Someone says, I know the Lord. I want to know the Lord. If you want to know the Lord, you're going to know his words. We're going to know his words and have respect for him and his law, to obey them. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 26, in Luke 9 and 26, Jesus said, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. It would be just right and well for us to talk about being ashamed or not ashamed of the Lord. But do you see here that Jesus talks about being ashamed of me and my words? Do you ever feel apologetic about the things that Jesus has said or the apostles? Well, I know he said that, you know, it's one man and one woman for life and the only cause for... I'm so sorry, that's the way it is. Oh, I'm not ashamed of that. That's the words of the Lord Jesus. It goes hand in hand that if we're are serving God, we're interested in His words. If we're ashamed of the Lord, if we're ashamed of His words, we're ashamed of the Lord. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." And to abide in His word is to obey His word in John 14 and 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." In James chapter 1 and verse 25. In James 1 and 25, James wrote, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Looking into the perfect law of liberty, continuing in it. And so in our devotion to the Word of God, it's not just trying to learn it, but it's learning it that we might do it, abide in it, obey His commandments. That involves writing it in our hearts. In Psalm 119 and verse 11, Psalm 119 and verse 11. "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you," the psalmist said. I know we have such access to the Word of God today. I guess you could go a few generations back and you would not even find someone who would have in their house a concordance to take a word, a Bible word, and find where all it's used. We have that at our fingertips now. And it's so easy for us to just say, "I know where to look it up." It's like a guy at work. He said, "Knowledge is knowing where to look it up." And so with all the data processing systems we worked with, he wasn't so interested in just learning it all as he just wanted to know which manual to go to look it up. May I suggest to you that God wants us to write His Word on our heart? That means He wants these words to be in our mind and in our thinking. Maybe you're not good at memorizing verses, but you know what it says. And you can go find it. Because you're writing it on your heart. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. "Be diligent. Or study to show yourselves approved to God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Be diligent to do this. How are you doing in your devotion of the Word of God? Are you teaching it diligently to your children? Explaining that to them. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. How are you about reminders? Back there in Deuteronomy 6, they were to post it. How are you about reminders? Sometimes people get weary of reminders, but we shouldn't be. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, "He who lacks these things, that is not adding to his faith virtue, knowledge," and so on. He says, "He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." We want to be reminded and not forget that which God has done for us. And so Peter, several times in this second letter says, "I'm writing to remind you." And we need reminders. How are you about reminding yourself about that which is in the Word of God? There is great danger if we're not devoted to the Word of God. Great danger if we're not devoted to knowing the Word of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and 14 through 18, Peter wrote, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures." Problem is stated. Now the solution, verse 17. "You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever, now, both now and forever. Amen." Here's the answer, here's the solution. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we not be led away with the error of the wicked. There is great danger that we don't know the Word of God. How does that apply to you and to me? Well, it's about our daily devotion to the Word of God. That's what it's about. To the food from heaven, the bread of life. Learning that. Giving devotion to study and think about it. We hand out questions with classes sometimes or material. What do you do with that? We can just come here and pass time. God wouldn't be pleased. He wants us devoted to the Word of God. Israel failed in their devotion to the Word of God, and what happened? A generation arose which knew not God, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. But another failure. Israel failed to completely drive out the inhabitants of the land. What God had commanded, we can see this in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verses 1 and 2. In Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess, and has cast out many nations before you, the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them." They were to completely drive out the inhabitants of the land. Joshua reminded them of these things, and Moses did too, but in Numbers chapter 33, in Numbers 33 and verses 51 to 56, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones. Destroy all their molded images and demolish all their high places. You shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it, for I have given you the land to possess." Verse 55, "But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them." In Judges chapter 2 and verse 2, again, "You shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars." That's what had been spoken to them. And Joshua had said in Joshua 23 and 5, in some of his farewell address, he had said, "And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised you." Who's working on this? God and man. God says, "You drive them out." And he would give them victory over them, but they knew where the victory was coming from. Nobody else ever marched around for 7 days a city and if a wall falls down as a result. Except God was doing this. When they obeyed God to expel the nations and to fight against them as God gave them instruction. God expelled them and did His part when they did their part. But what happened? What did Israel do? In Judges chapter 1, in Judges 1 and verses 27, well, 21 to 36, let's see what actually happened. But the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites who inhabited Jerusalem. So the Jebusites dwelt with the children of Benjamin. Well, maybe it was just the tribe of Benjamin. Let's keep reading. And the house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. So the house of Joseph sent men to spy out Bethel. But look at verse 27. Ephraim and Manasseh, now we think about Joseph. Now Manasseh. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth-shean. Verse 29. Nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer. Verse 30. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains. They didn't do what God had said to do. And we read two and two in a moment, a few minutes ago. You shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. But what happened? Judges 2 and verse 3. Therefore I said, I'll not drive them out from before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you. They didn't do their part, and God said, I'm not driving them out. And you're going to find out just exactly what I said will come true. And that did come true. They were a snare to them. Have you driven out the old man? This is the application I want you to make. Have you driven out the old man out of your life? In Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 to 10, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When we believe with the heart, then we're saying we believe that Jesus is Lord in Christ, and if He's Lord, then He's my Lord, which means I'm going to drive out the old man. We confess Him as Lord in Christ. We're willing to stand on our belief. Repentance involves that idea of turning, driving out the old man. Being baptized into Christ, the old man is to be buried and a new man raised to walk in newness of life. Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, the things that Paul taught, he says, he taught that men should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. The grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present age. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 2. In Romans 6 and 2. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. Grace teaches us to put on the new man. Have you driven out the old man? 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 20 and 21. There are some in Corinth who had not. In 2 Corinthians 12, 20 and 21, Paul wrote, for I fear lest when I come I shall not find you as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish. Lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults. And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and licentiousness which they have practiced. Israel failed to completely drive out the inhabitants of the land, the enemies of God. Have you driven out the old man out of your life? He's an enemy. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 11. In Colossians 3 verses 1 through 11. The apostle wrote, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now you must also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of Him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all." Are you a Christian who has not put off some of these things? That you've held on to a remnant of sin in your life? Are there secret things in your life that you still hang on to? Are there the ways of the world that you still enjoy and love? And your desire has not been put to death regarding those things? I would ask, if you're not a Christian, you're dead in sin. You're going to have to drive out the old man, but you're going to have to obey Jesus Christ and put Him on in baptism and drive out the old man. Israel failed to completely drive out the inhabitants of the land. As a result, they were a thorn. And just so, when men obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and they do not drive out the things that once did enthrall them, they are set up for all kinds of problems as they continue to be entangled in those things. Jesus didn't die for you and me that we continue in sin. And Paul asks the question in Romans chapter 6, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid," he said. We learn from Israel. We've got to completely drive out the old. But, number 3 of 4, Israel failed to destroy the idols of the nations. What God had commanded, we see back there in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verses 5 and 6. "But thus you shall deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." And Joshua spoke of this in Joshua chapter 23. In verses 6 through 8, he said, "Therefore be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And lest you go among the nations, those who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day." But what did Israel do? Described in Judges chapter 2 and verses 12 and 13, which we read in the outset. They forsook the Lord God of their fathers who had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they followed other gods from among the gods of the people who were all around them, and they bowed down to them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. They forsook the Lord and served Baal and the Ashtoreths. Israel failed. And God gave them warning that if you don't do this, he talked about them perishing from the land. We would ask you, have you broken down idols in your life and left false religion behind? Have you broken down idols in your life? An idol is anything that you put between God and yourself, between you and God. It seems that someone had given the definition, the sin of mind against God. Idolatry can occur right in the mind. You don't need to carve an image. Idolatry is seen in so many aspects in our life today, one of which is materialism and covetousness. Before we speak more to that, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10, 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10, the Christians in Thessalonica are commended, and they're such an example of faith because of what they did in verses 9 and 10. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, others do about Thessalonica, and how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That's what Paul went and preached. You've got to turn and turn from your false religion to the Gentiles. Turn from your false religion and your idolatry. And they did there in Thessalonica. Some did in Athens, not many. In Luke chapter 12 and verses 15 through 21, in Luke 12, 15 through 21, Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. We live in a time of exactly that, covetousness. Idolatry. It's idolatry. People will put hobbies, money, sports, and we could go on and on in front of God. And someone says, well, I only do it once in a while. What does that mean? Wouldn't matter whether you did it once or 1,000. It's never right. It's putting something in front of God. We're tested in this. I suppose that Satan wants us to think that the way He'll test us with idolatries, He'll come and He'll throw a Buddha in front of us and try to get us to bow down to it. And that's ridiculous. I don't think He's going to try that one. I think He'll just come along and He'll say, you know, you have some event in your life that's more important this weekend. It's okay to absent yourself from the Lord's assembly here this morning, because you have something more important this time. You put it in your life what it is to you. What is it? What would it take for it to be more important than assembling on the Lord's Day? Someone says, well, it wouldn't be a soccer game, but if it was the national championship soccer game, I'd have to think about it. That's idolatry. We've got to leave behind and break down the idols. Whatever it is that you put ahead of God, you want the approval of others. You want others' commendation. You want to look good to others. That's idolatry. Israel failed to destroy the idols of the nations, and it was their downfall. and it will be ours too. Luke chapter 8 and verse 14. The seed that fell among thorns are those who, when they'd heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Code word, idolatry. Cares. You mean cares can come? Yes, cares can come between you and God. Of all things, and God's the one who will take them. Take them for you and help you with them. And yet some people will let cares come between them and God. And riches and pleasures of life. And as a result, bring no fruit to maturity. I ask you and myself this morning too, I'm asking all these to myself. Have you broken down the idols in your life and left behind false religion? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 9 through 15, in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 to 15, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. To me, that's a picture of leaving behind false religion and clinging and cleaving unto the apostles' doctrine. Sometimes people want to leave some kind of denomination and they want to bring forward. Maybe they want to bring into their life and continue in the social gospel, or they want to continue with instrumental music or other things that were part of false religion. But just like breaking down the idols, we must break down false religion and leave that and cleave unto the word of the apostles and the word of Christ. Have you broken down idols and left false religion? But finally, Israel intermarried among the heathen. What God had commanded, we've read some of this already, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verses 3 and 4. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. God commanded it and He gave a promise along with it. If you go and do this, this is what will happen. Joshua chapter 23 and verses 12 and 13. Joshua 23, 12 and 13. Or else if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them and go into them, and they to you know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord has given you. What did Israel do? Judges chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. So the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. And all along God had said, don't do it, and it's the very thing they go and do. And do they think that what God says is not going to come to pass? That you'll perish from the land? Nehemiah chapter 13. In Nehemiah chapter 13, after a remnant has returned, it is written here in verse 23, in those days I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language of one or the other people. So I contended with them and cursed them, struck some of them and pulled out their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, You shall not give your daughters as wives to their sons, nor take your daughters for your sons or yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin. Israel intermarried, still a problem. Remnant comes back. Nehemiah is reminding them. God said no. And here's what's happened. And don't you know, even just looking back by experience, what resulted from this? Israel intermarried among the heathen. This was part of their downfall. And I would ask you, not about whether you've married a Christian or one who's not, but I'm going to ask you about your associations. What about your associations? A marriage is the most intimate of one. But what about our associations? 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. The apostle said, Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Over and over again, children are deceived in this, and parents too. We're not to put our kids in a closet. I'm not suggesting that. But parents need to watch out for the kids, for their children's friends. Evil company corrupts good habits. But it so happens that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the context is not about friends of children, but the context is about teachers who are teaching error and denying the resurrection. And Paul says, evil companions corrupt good morals. And so it is with false teachers. What about your associations with friends? I would ask that. What about our associations? But what about our associations with people who are teaching error? In 2 John verses 9 through 11. In 2 John 9 through 11. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. He has fellowship with his evil deeds. I don't want that. Do you want that? Those who come and teach error. Romans chapter 16 and verses 17 and 18. I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech they deceive the hearts of the simple. There's great danger in association and fellowship with those who are teaching error. And the Bible says to you and to me not to have fellowship with those who teach error. And in fact, Paul the apostle went so far as to name people which need to be avoided. And 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 17, he said, Their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Beware of those two men. Chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul writes, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. This is not personal. This is about the doctrine of Christ. And you cannot have fellowship with one who is not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. We live in such a polite society, superficially so. A polite society that says, oh, you ought not to name anyone's name. But there's false teachers out there among brethren who are sowing seeds of discord subtly. And we should be aware of them. and not be afraid to name their doctrine and to name them. But I ask, what about your associations? Israel sinned through their marriages with the heathen nations and led them further into sin. The failures of Israel can be attributed to failing to be devoted to the Word of God, failing to completely drive out the inhabitants of the land, and failing to destroy the idols of the land and intermarrying with those heathen nations. And so let us be devoted to the Word of God, lest we repeat their failures. Let us write His law in our hearts, respect and obey His law, teach our children His law, explain and remind it, remind them of it, remind ourselves, drive out and put to death the old man, break down the idols, and completely leave false religion and recognize and avoid evil associations in your life, lest you be drawn away with the error of the wicked. If you're not a Christian this morning, won't you become one? Believing the gospel, won't you repent of your sins and confess Jesus as Lord and Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins? And then you'll be saved. Now continue faithful unto death that you may receive the heavenly prize. And if you're a Christian and you're not living right, won't you get right with the Lord? We invite either of you, or if you have any need, to come forward and express your need as we stand and sing.